before I get into the word itself that I feel God's laid on my heart, I just feel that God wants to say to some of you that the supremacy of His word to you, is greater than anything else that may be declared over your life. That there is power and authority in His word. His word spoke the worlds into being. His word brought life where there was death. His word brought healing where there was sickness. His word brought freedom where there was captivity. And He would say to you that you need to hold on to His word. You would hear voices spoken to you, things said to you that will be opposite to what His word says. And you need to recognize the authority contained within His word for you that you can hold on to and you can be assured of. You need to recognize that His promises are given to you in order that you might live in a place of security, in a place of assurance, in a place where you can know the peace of God garrisoning, guarding, keeping your heart and your mind. The enemy will seek to sow words of destruction. The enemy will seek to sow words of division. The enemy will seek to try and sow into your lives words that will cause you to be diminished in your faith and in your experience of the one who has called you into relationship with Him and into a place where you can experience the wonder of His love enfolding you, keeping you, watching over you, and protecting you. Do not underestimate the authority of His word. Do not underestimate what He can accomplish as He speaks into your life and He brings revelation of His plans and His purposes to you. Recognize the confidence you can place in His word, because He is sovereign and He is Lord over all those things that might assail you, over all those things that might try to take hold of your life, to cause you to live in a place of fear, to cause you to live in a place where somehow or other you feel isolated and alone, away from the one who has called you to walk with Him in closeness. There is authority and power in His word, and His word is given to you in order that you might stand on it, be confident in it, and see the reality of it being worked out in your heart and in your life. Today I felt God gave to me a word for the group which I called Momental Moves. And this morning I looked at what I called a move that was placed upon an individual. It's interesting that in both cases, both this morning and this evening, I'm dwelling on old men. Now, whether that's because I have reached that point where I'm one of them, but this morning we looked at Moses and looked at how God spoke to him and the children of Israel. And basically the word given to them was this: well, get on with it then. Stop praying, start doing. And there are times, you know, in our lives — I'm not going to go into the sermon again, I recorded it — but basically there are times when in our praying there comes a moment when God says, right now you need to take a step to enable the prayer to become a reality. But this evening I want to look at a motivational move. And I wonder what motivates you. Let me ask a question. What motivates Maureen?
Cello.
The cello. How do you know that that motivates Maureen?
Because it's all she ever talks about.
Because it's all she ever talks about. See, what motivates us grips our lives. What motivates us drives us. What motivates us creates a passion within us. And I want to look at this story of Abraham and his call. And you'll find it in Genesis chapter 12. Maureen just read the first couple of verses, which are probably the key verses. But I will sort of be running over the whole chapter, although I am going to start in chapter 11. Because at the end of chapter 11, there's an interesting statement that is made. And what I want to say to you is, have you resided where God doesn't want you to stay? Have you resided where God doesn't want you to stay? See, because what we read at the end of chapter 11 is this, that Abraham's family had been called to go to Canaan. And they had started the journey to that place. And yet there came a point in their lives where they decided to settle down. Where they decided, we've travelled enough, we've journeyed enough. We've reached the point where we just want to settle now. The word Haran is actually an interesting word. It means one of two things. It means either parched or crossroads. Let me say to you, in your journey, God never will leave you in a parched place. God always wants to take you into a place which flows with milk and honey. And the second thing is that there will be those times in your lives when you arrive at a crossroads. At a crossroads where you are called to make a decision. And what motivates you will decide you on what you are going to do. There came a point in the life of this family where rather than be motivated by the pilgrimage that they were on and the journey with God, they came to a point where they felt, I'm tired, I'm weary, I like the look of this place, I am going to settle here. This is where I will reside. We have all been called to be pilgrims. And a pilgrimage does not stop until the moment you stand in heaven face to face with Jesus. You are all on a journey. But in the journey you are on, you will discover that there will be always the temptation to settle down. I want to say to you, church, that you are on a journey. Do not settle. Do not get to the point where you think you've arrived. Do not get to the point where you consider that there is nothing more to be gained. Do not get to the point where somehow or other you consider this is comfortable. This is nice. This is where I will be. Because you see, if you do, you will settle, but God moves on. You will stay, but God continues in the journey. And there is a sense in which you will suddenly find that having settled, you see, that was the problem with the children of Israel. This morning, I looked at how they came to the point where the Red Sea was before them. God made a way where there didn't appear to be a way. They went across the Red Sea. They saw the provision and the miraculous of God. The tragedy is a generation died in a wilderness because when they came to the point of going into the promises of God, they refused to do so. Some of you are in danger of settling. Some of you are in danger of residing in a place of comfort, in a place of where you feel that you've arrived. And God wants to say to you, wake up. Wake up and shake up. Because you are not called to settle. You're called to continue in the journey of discovery into the presence, into the power, into the evidence of God at work in your life and through your life for his glory in order that a nation might be reached and a world might be changed.
Amen.
And so we discover that a residing took place. But then a realignment took place. Suddenly, out of the blue, God comes and speaks and says to this man of 75 years of age, look at me, my age. I know I look good and I know that I don't look 75, but probably Abraham at that time looked maybe as good as I did. But, you know, God says, no, you may well be right. He probably didn't. He looked better. Thank you, Paul.
He had a beard,
just like our senior pastor. Our senior pastor's growing a beard. Just an aside, I'm so glad that I can't grow a beard because I'm grateful that I've aligned with Jacob. He didn't remain Jacob. He became Israel and knew the presence and the power of God, while Esau remained hairy and lost his inheritance. But that's just an aside. Yes, so coming back to Abraham, God says, Abraham, and I don't know whether this was an audible voice, whether this was just an impression that Abraham got in his mind. You know, God speaks in all sorts of ways. But when God speaks, we know it's God. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to realign with my purposes and plans. I want you to once again recognize that you've not arrived and there's a journey to take. And that if you are willing to trust me and realign with my purposes and plans, I'm going to tell you that something significant will happen in your life. I'm going to tell you that there will be multiplied to you and then multiplied through you blessings beyond which you could ever imagine. I say to you, church, that God has got some treasures in store for us. There are blessings that he wants to pour out in such amazing ways. But we need to realign with him. We need to be in tune with what he's saying, the way he's leading, what he's doing, identifying what he's calling us as individuals to do. You see, because when he called Abraham to realign, there was something that was required from Abraham, and that was to relinquish what he had. That's tough. Now, Abraham took a lot of stuff with him. And the stuff he took with him, some of that ended up being a bit of a pain in the neck as well. But what he had to do was he had to move out of the place of security, out of the place of comfort, out of the place which was familiar, and he had to start on a journey, and he didn't even know where the journey was going to end. He didn't know where the journey was going to take him. He had to be willing to relinquish everything in order that in surrendering it to God, he was totally under the control and sovereignty of God. You've sung songs tonight that recognize and indeed declare the sovereignty of God. Songs that we can so easily sing and miss the reality and the power of the words that we are singing. And God wants some of you to understand that your realignment with his purposes and plans will require a relinquishing of something. It's not so that he might take away from you to deprive you, but it's in order that that which you sacrifice to him, he will then, as a result of that, be able to pour into you a blessing beyond which you could ever imagine. But if you hold on to what you want to hold on to, if you want to remain in the security of what you've got, if you want to stay in the place where you want to stay comfortable, then God says, that's absolutely fine. That is your right. Abraham did not need to move. Abraham did not need to go on this journey of the unknown. But Abraham came to the place where he was ready to relinquish all that he had in order that he might gain. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said on one occasion when he said, I count everything but loss that I might gain Christ. On another occasion he said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And we love that idea. Oh, if I could only know the power of the resurrection of Christ. But what Paul also said was, in order I might know the power of the resurrection of Christ, I also need to partner in the fellowship of his sufferings. We want the crown, but we don't want the cross. Jesus says the cross comes first. If any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up a cross, and follow me. And to the human mind and to the human heart and to the human nature, denial is not something that sits easy with us. We are in a world, in a culture where it's more, more, more and more. In the kingdom of God that so often is countercultural, is give that it might be given. Less of you and more of him. And so Abraham relinquishes what he was dependent upon. And having relinquished what he was dependent upon, he then begins this journey. Just want to say, it's amazing how that God just suddenly turns up. You come to the end of chapter 11 and it's all comfortable and nice, and then you move into chapter 12 and God appears. God's like that. He suddenly appears. He's suddenly there speaking to you personally. It might be in that quiet moment when you're there at home and you've got the Bible in front of you. It might be when Pastor Lloyd sends one of his WhatsApp messages through that gives you an encouragement. There's all sorts of ways in which God suddenly turns up, but you know that God is there and you know he's speaking to you, and you feel so special and so privileged that God should take the time and the effort, the creator of the universe, to come and be involved in your life personally. But that's what he wants. That's how precious you are to him. Every person, unique in their creation by the creator, is special to him. Never lose sight of the fact that whatever a person's background is, whatever the person's nature is, whatever the person has done or not done, whatever even their religious understanding might be, they are precious to the one who created them. And the one who created them wants them to come to an understanding and a knowledge of what it is to be realigned with his purpose and his plans. And so it was that Abraham relinquishes what he depends upon. And in this revelation that comes to him, you see, what God says was, you do this, you take the step of faith, and I'll show you the way. The other week we had a short trip to Scotland. And we went to Scotland because we were going to a cello festival. And one doesn't mind driving 2,000 miles to go and listen to four cello concerts, especially when one is in love. So off we go. And whilst we're up there, of course, it's good to see at least some of the area of Scotland. And on one occasion, the navigator said, let's go out in the back and beyond of nowhere. Now, let me say there's another story to this, which I'll simply say that in the back of the middle of nowhere, where there was no phone signal, we had a tyre blowout, and all we saw was the amazing provision of God. But that's for another time. I'm not going to give you any more details on that. But what I do want to say to you is that when we were out in the back of nowhere, we didn't really know where we were going, and we didn't know where we were going to end up. What we did know was at some point it would become clear. That's how it is with our journey of faith sometimes, you know. We feel as though we are spiritually in the back of beyond nowhere. We've got no idea where God's taking us. We've got no idea what the destination is. All we know is that God has said, you take this step and you go this way. And I will show you, in due time, I will show you where I want you to end up. Some of you need to know that where God wants you to end up, you could never even begin to imagine the amazement of what it is that you will discover when you get there. But you have got to be faithful in the journey to get to the destination that God has set for you. You've got to be willing, like Abraham, to say, okay, Lord, you show me the way, and I will be willing to walk that way. Even though I do not know where that's going to be. You see, here is a man who daily was living by faith. Here was a man who was daily dependent upon hearing from God. Here was a man who had to know day by day the directional words spoken into his life that would take him into the next phase of what God was going to do in him and God was going to do through him. See, when you're in that place where you're that dependent on God, there's something else that we discover. See, God not only says to him, Abraham, you take this journey and you will experience what it is to live in a place of revelation and understanding of my heart and my mind. But I also want you to know this, that you take this journey, I'm going to reshape you. Because what God says is, I will show you. And then he says, I will make you. God is moulding you. God is shaping you. Those of you who are as old as I am will remember plasticine. And how we used to play with plasticine. And how we used to try and create something out of plasticine. At school, I did pottery. I was as useless at pottery as I am at anything else that's DIY. And so my pots never ever looked the right shape. They never ever really were beautiful to gaze upon. I did bring one home once. I'm not quite sure what happened to it. But nevertheless, it was never really appreciated. God is the potter. You are the clay. Let me say to you, some of you are trying to make yourself something. And if you try and make yourself something, you will end up with a human shape and a human vision instead of a God shape and a God vision. You are called to be those who simply sit on the potter's table, supple and available for the creative hands of the potter to take hold of your life and to shape you and to mould you into something that will honour and glorify him. And in the New Testament we are told that in our earthen vessels, jars of clay, there are heavenly treasures. Some of you look at what God has created within you and wish you were somebody else. God wants you to know that you're exactly who you are. Amen. Created the way you are, in order that his glory might be revealed through your heart and life. Amen. Some of you live in a place where you just wish that somehow you could do things different in the terms of whatever your gifting is, whatever your ministry is, whatever your involvement in church is. God wants you to know he's called you for the purpose and the plan that is being fulfilled through your life. And to be in the place that you allow him to continue to enable you to become everything that he wants you to be. Do not wish that you were someone else. Because that is denying what the Creator has created you to be. Amen. Be the person he's called you to be. Allowing the image of Jesus to be reflected through your life. The power of Jesus resting upon your life. The glory of Jesus being manifested in your life. In order that you might be used for his honour and glory. And so it was that Abraham was being shaped by God as he continued on this journey with God. But as we continue through the chapter, we see the next thing that is very important for us. Abraham also came to a place where he could have settled down. Came to a place where he could have said, I've gone far enough. I'm old enough. I'm wise enough. I've done enough. There's nothing else left for me. But what Abraham did was Abraham said, I'm resolving to keep going. I want to say to you, church, Papa here is resolved to keep going.
Amen.
Because God's not finished with the elderly.
Amen.
You don't reach a stage where you're retired. And that means that there is nothing further for you to experience, to enjoy, to discover, or to be used in. All that's happened is that God has relinquished you from certain things in order that you might pick up other things. Amen. God has let go of certain things in order that he might take you into new things and to new experiences.
Yes.
That bring an understanding of his greatness and his glory.
Thank you, Lord.
And I resolve to keep going. I don't know how many of you were struck by the runner who kept running with the broken leg. I cannot understand how they managed to do that. I can. Resolve. They resolved that they were going to finish well. I'm resolved that I am going to finish well.
Amen.
I'm resolved that there will come a point where I too, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I have run the race. I have fought the fight. And now there is, for me, the crown of glory. Keep resolve to keep going. Because there will always be the challenge to give up. The challenge to give up will come when the enemy puts obstacles in your way. The challenge to give up will come when things are said that wind you up. The challenge to give up will come when disappointments hit your life. The challenge to give up will come when weaknesses begin to impact your physical body. The challenge is to give up will come when you feel that somehow or other you're not understood. The challenge is to give up will come when you feel that somehow or other others are better than you. The challenge is to give up will come when you think that it's time to live a quiet, comfortable life. Resolve to keep going, whatever those challenges are, because those giants that you see are not there to defeat you, but for you to defeat them. When David saw Goliath, the difference between David's vision and the vision of the children of Israel was that David saw a giant that could fall. The people of God, the children of Israel, saw a giant that could conquer them. When we look at our world, we look at our nation, we look at our country, do not lose sight of the sovereignty of God, the power of God, and what God can accomplish and do. I'm aware of time, and so I just want to draw this to a conclusion with one final thing. In this chapter, we come to a point where Abraham builds an altar. He's reaching out for God, this God who has suddenly broken in upon his life, this God who he's not really understanding, this God who's called him and who is looking to lead him and direct him and reshape him. There is a sense in which this God is still a mystery to him. And so he builds this altar and he calls out to God. And then he continues on his journey and there comes a second point where he builds a second altar. The interesting thing is that at this point in time, the altar is built between two places, Ai and Bethel. Ai is the place of ruins. Bethel, the house of God, is the place of relationship. You can either let your life be a life of ruins when it comes to your walk with God, or your life could be a life of relationship where you know and experience the power and the majesty and the love of God permeating every aspect of your life, pouring out of your life and being reflected to the world around. We, many years ago, went to Turkey to visit the churches of Revelation. The seven churches of Revelation are simply just ruins. Nothing there but broken down stones, if anything at all. Over the years I've been serving the Lord, tragically I've seen lives where spiritually there's just been ruins. So much potential, so much opportunity, so much that could have been accomplished in the life that was there serving God. But now a life that is in ruins, because there came a point where instead of seeking for the relationship that God wants to bring each and every one of us into, there was a choice to say, I'm moving away. Away from that relationship. Away from the house of God. Away from the place of his presence. away from where he can reveal himself and where he can touch my life. And ruins became the result. Church, God longs for a deeper relationship with each and every one of you. God longs for you to come to the place where you might discover more of him and know more of his life impacting and touching your life. But like Abraham, motivation to move is the key. And if there are other things that motivate you that are greater than your motivation to move with God, let me say to you that there will be a cost. And the cost will be that although God has and longs for you to fulfill your destiny and your purposes and all that he has planned for you, that he will show you and that he will enable you to experience in great measure, so that not only might you be blessed, but that your family will be blessed and your community will be blessed. And ultimately, Abraham was told, the world will be blessed if you allow me to be the one who uses you to reveal my power and my glory. Amen. May that be our heart and desire. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.